after the Saturday report is too important a report to leave it to the next parliament. We thought it's very important as a committee to look at it so that we are able to put it aside. Because a number of institutions did need this kind of a sitting. So thank you. I don't think there are many committees sitting in Parliament today, but we're one of those. But I do appreciate your support. We're not going to wait for others. I think we are a good number. Welcome to the department. And I think this is interesting. I see a number of people. Welcome, everybody. And this relates to the final exams last year. And the department wants to be found as to what were the issues. I'm going to head over and straight away to the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. And let me also express our appreciation to you, Chair, and to the committee for agreeing to sit today. As you have said, we had not expected to meet again, but we did request this, and we really do appreciate it and value indeed the opportunity we will now get to present this report to you. Chair, let me begin by introducing the team. I have my Deputy Director General, Ms. Carlson, with me, together with Mr. Sishi Nkosi, who is the Chief Director in charge of examinations and assessment, and Dr. Granville Whittle, who is our Chief Director Communications in the department. Chair, let me preface this presentation by acknowledging that it is probably one of the most difficult and awkward presentations that I've ever had to give, I think, in all my years in government here. It obviously is a very sensitive matter, and in part we're a little bit intimidated by the media interest down the other end of the room. But at the same time, Chair, we do value this, I think, as an opportunity to finally put the full report into the public domain, to allow people to look at it, to confirm that it was indeed a genuine and honest critical reflection on what happened, and hopefully, Chair, in some way through that to at least move closer to bringing closure to this matter. We ourselves at the moment are very strongly focused on the supplementary exams, which are being written as we speak. We are busy in preparing for the end of year exams in 2009, and I would hope by the end of the presentation we could focus a little bit on some of the future steps we'll be taking to correct these problems, and that would be, I would hope, the tone of the meeting that is in many ways forward-focused. Chair, we have made copies for the Portfolio Committee, and I'm sure for any others here present, of the formal report itself, the investigation into the causes of the delays in the release of some senior certificate results in 2008. That is the report that dated 31 January 2009 and was then the formal report that was tabled to the Minister as compiled by the Ministerial Committee. That was requested, so I would hope certainly that all members do have access to that, and clearly that is the document that we will try and in some way take you through today and give you a sense of what is in there and what was found. So, Chair, we can begin with the problem statement to note that there are copies of the presentation as well, I understand, so please make use of those. When the Minister announced the results on the 30th of December last year, she included in that announcement the fact that the results of some 56,351 candidates had not at that stage been processed. And let me start up front, Chair, in this meeting, as we have done in various other forums, by apologising to all candidates who have been affected in any way, and go beyond that, Chair, and indicate an open invitation to anyone who believes they've been prejudiced in any way by this delay in releasing the results to please contact us so that we can try to assist them in whatever way possible. We have already done so in various instances, particularly around higher education admission, but we once again reiterate the apology and the invitation, Chair, so that we can try and put these things right This is not in any way an attempt to try and give any kind of excuses for what happened, but it's simply to explain what we found. Following that announcement, the Minister then directed the existing structure, the National Examinations and Regularities Committee, the NEIC, which incidentally includes representatives from SAQA, from Higher Education South Africa, from the two main teacher unions, SATU and SOU, as well as the GITO Council, that's the Government IT Office Council, together with Umalusi to investigate the causes and to make recommendations, and that's what they've done, and that is the report you see before you. And that report followed a very extensive, although very quick, process of on-site investigations into all key processes that have led to the release of the results. So that's where this thing comes from, Chair, and why it's there, and let us take you through into that. But Chair, before we actually deal with the findings, I think it is important that we all understand a little bit of the context that we were dealing with in this particular regard. And the first point I think to recognize before we get to the slide itself is that 2008 in many ways was a unique year. You would all be aware, of course, it was the first year in which the revised national curriculum statement was examined. So we had this new examination with a whole set of new subjects and new pass requirements that were there. We also, of course, during the course of 2008 introduced a new integrated examination computer system, the IECS, and also to understand in terms of this context that we had more candidates writing matric than ever before. We were nearly at 590,000 candidates writing. And just for interest, and I think it is an important statement, overall in these examinations we collect in the order of 12 million different marks from learners, both the school-based assessment and other marks, as well as, of course, students writing more than one paper in the subject. So all of these 12 million marks have to be captured, have to be properly allocated to the students, have to be processed, etc. So just, I think, a little bit of understanding. We do certainly run a very big system, and in many ways we were treading new ground in 2008. But to turn to the slide itself, Chair, just a couple of other pointers, I think, that are important around the context. One is there was a very important decision taken to start these matric examinations later than we have done historically. Previously, we had commenced these in October, but the evidence, and I'm sure the Portfolio Committee doesn't need telling about this, is that many schools effectively stopped teaching the day that matric exams started, and that this didn't, it wasn't just in relation to grade 12. Many other grades also, either because they needed the school hall or something like that, got sent home, and effectively a lot of schools actually, you know, closed from that time. So rightly, I believe, we agreed to move the starting date to the 5th of November to try and maximize our teaching time. But the consequence was that that reduced our time available to process the results from what had previously been some 47 days over the Christmas New Year period. That was reduced now to just 27 days. That obviously put enormous pressure on the system, and I think that probably is the first area in which the Department of Education would acknowledge that probably we did not give sufficient advice to the Minister in this regard, and certainly I think compromised the process. But the second point, I think, is equally important, Chair. Of the 56-odd thousand results that were announced in 30th of December to be outstanding, the first thing that the committee identified was that nearly 30,000 of those candidates were, in fact, absent from the exam entirely. They had registered, but they had not turned up to write any of the papers. So, in fact, Chair, what we were dealing with was some 26,737 results that were delayed of candidates who had then, in fact, written the exam. And to recognize that that is just below 5% of the total, the other 95% were processed on time, given the results, etc. Of these 26,000 plus results that were delayed, we do need to recognize that many of them were what we had to then term genuine irregularities. It sounds a little bit odd, but it's correct. These are instances, Chair, where students, for example, had an incorrect exam or ID number, which was required, obviously, on every single paper that they wrote. The minute you got a wrong ID number, the minute you got a wrong exam number, the computer system rightly just says, this is an irregularity, put it to one side, cannot process, and those sort of things certainly have to be followed up. The instances also where candidates had written for a subject other than that they had registered for. They might have registered for a certain set of subjects, some reason, and perhaps laxity at the exam centres. We even had cases, I do understand, where as learners walked in the door of the exam room, particularly around the maths and maths literacy option, candidates effectively walked in and said, no, I've changed my mind, I'm not doing maths, I'm doing maths literacy. They were allowed to write that paper, but of course, once again, the computer says, weren't registered for this, can't recognize that mark, put it out, put it to one side, deal with it. So there were those kind of instances, and we need to appreciate them. And of course, and I'm not overemphasizing this, clearly some candidates were suspected of cheating. Those results all always have to be put on hold. The matters have to be investigated. The case has to be put to the learner. They have to be able to respond. So all of those genuine instances have to be dealt with, and many of them, I think, were in that capacity. I have to say that more than one exam script came in fact, with a cell phone number on top rather than an ID or an exam number. So that's perhaps the kind of work that we have to do. And, Chair, I think we just, finally on the context issue, note that by the 16th of February, which was effectively around the time universities were commencing, we were down to some 92 results that were still outstanding. So large proportion of them had all been dealt with certainly before the 16th of February, many of them, in fact, much before that. So to a large extent, they were addressed, I think, as soon as possible following up. There are a couple of other points around the context, Chair, that I think is important, and these deal with the tightening up of the system. And I think we have recognized that, in part, the delays were a consequence of some steps we had taken to try and tighten up. The previous computer program that we used, it did not specify the components of school-based assessment, and it had been able to ignore these if they were not there. If a learner did not have a school-based assessment previously, the computer system just ignored that gap. It simply took the exam mark that the learner had achieved and awarded that then as the final mark. That didn't always work to the benefit of the learners because generally they did better on the school-based assessment than the exam, but what it meant is the results did get processed even though there might not have been a school-based assessment mark. We have certainly pinned that down now, and the computer program is written such that if there's no school-based mark, there's no result. Again, that goes into an irregularities bunch, and that certainly was a factor. But perhaps because of that, we found what has to be said, a casual approach by learners, by teachers, by schools, and I think what we've seen is that the new system has started to reveal now this practice of ignoring school-based assessment marks. The most prevalent, of course, was in fact in life orientation. Life orientation is only assessed through a school-based assessment mark. There is no examination as such, but it is compulsory, and a number of learners really thought, don't worry about this one, it's not going to count, that kind of thing. And they just ignored the school-based assessment, they ignored their life orientation, and suddenly they got surprised when the results didn't come out saying you didn't complete your life orientation requirements. So all of that, I think, has been thrown up by this tightening of the system, and that's been important. The second element of tightening up was that the computer system this year was only programmed to accept the computer-generated mark sheets. Now, I have to say, and this is also a tightening up, some of the schools were submitting marks on bits of scraps of paper, and they'd sort of written down the candidate's name and put it in. Well, the computer can't deal with those, and I don't think any system should be expected to, so that in itself has to be tightened up and certainly is being doing. And the point I made about candidates changing courses, some, as I say, at the exam door, but even some during October, November even, were making these changes. We have now tightened the regulations, and we'll indicate those later. These courses have to be pinned down at an earlier stage so the computer can be properly programmed. Chair, that's just, as I say, a bit of background around what we were dealing with and some of the understandings. Let me turn now to the findings themselves. And, Chair, the overall findings are quoted there, that the delay in the release of the results now of the 26,737 candidates, the committee found could not be attributed to a single factor, but to a collection of variables that impacted on the examination processes and procedures. And I don't think that's necessarily unexpected. I think we would understand that there was more than one thing that might have been a problem, and what we'd like to do, Chair, is take you through, I think, some of these variables that have impacted on the system. The first set of findings, Chair, pertains to what we could term system-level factors. And I think there were some big ones there that certainly we must take responsibility for as a department, and perhaps inadequate preparation from our side. But to recognize that one of the system-level issues was that this was the first exam based on the new National Senior Certificate policy, and to a certain extent there was a lack of compliance with policy right across the board, from school principals not submitting mark sheets in the right form in the right time, districts not doing what they were supposed to do, provinces, and if need be at the national level. So all along the system, I think we can say that policy was not effectively implemented during the course of that three-year implementation phase, and therefore we did find a lack of compliance with policy that compromised the system. We recognize also that the decision to delay the start of the exams without adjusting the release date was also a systemic issue, and as I say, we take responsibility for that. That undoubtedly impacted on our ability to process all these results in good time. We did, Chair, encounter some technical issues with the new exam system, and I'm sure anyone who's worked with computers will recognize the possibilities for these kind of things to happen, and indeed some of them did occur. But let me also make the point, Chair, that some 95% of the results were processed properly on time by this computer system. So there should be no sense, I think, that anyone has that this was a complete system collapse in any way. Certainly there were individual students who were compromised in different ways, but to recall that over 500,000 candidates, in fact, did get their results properly in time, I think suggests that it was not by any means a complete system breakdown, but definitely some technical issues. Some of them had to do with data connectivity between the provinces and ourselves and the speed at which data could flow, etc. All of those things that certainly we have put in place plans to address. And then, Chair, I think we need to recognize also that particularly the new demands on the system, we're moving now to this new exam, a nationally controlled exam, etc. And I think it's true to say that both financial and human resources were not expanded commensurate with the new tasks that had to be taken on. And that is an issue certainly that we are addressing at the moment, and looking to build that capacity wherever needed to ensure that we're not held hostage by these kind of constraints. Chair, those were the big system issues that the report identified, but there were a number of detailed factors in here as well. The one I've alluded to already, this issue of the incorrect registration of learners. You know, we sent these registration sheets back three times for checking. We sent it to the school, we sent it to the district, we sent it to the province. In every case we said, please check every detail on here well before the exam, trying to make sure that everything was correctly recorded. I'm sorry to say that despite all of that checking, we still encountered extraordinary situations where candidate exam numbers did not match the candidate's name, registration of subjects were wrong, those kind of things. This is where clearly we've got to put greater pressure on the system. Clearly, of course, we were trying to do what monitoring we could by sending them back on a regular basis, but we do need to find systems that will completely eradicate those kind of possibilities of an incorrect registration of learners. Clearly, the system is of a concern there. If I had to say, Chair, that the single most prevalent factor identified by the committee in terms of delaying the results were problems with the collection, the capture, and the control of both your school-based assessment and your exam mark sheets from the school level or an examination center, if not at a school, up to the district, up to the province. There was really a sense that that's where the flaws in the system lay. And to a large extent, it is, I believe, true to say that the computer processed whatever it was able to process, where it had complete data, certainly. There was nothing holding it back. But in most cases, it was about the school-based assessment marks not having been properly submitted by the school, not taken up by the district, not fed into the provincial level, and obviously then not into the computer system. That really has been the major factor in the majority of cases of results that were not processed on time. Other irregularities similar to the top one about incorrect student data, still we find difficulties, duplicate students, those kind of things registered on the system. Those were issues that we had to clean up as well. So those were some of the detailed factors certainly that impacted and obviously delayed the release of those results. But once again, Chair, as I say, to just note that 95 of the results were processed on time. There has not been a system breakdown. And I really want to emphasize the point that the three large provinces and the ones who historically we have not come to expect but come to perhaps anticipate that there might be difficulties, your large provinces of the Eastern Cape, of KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo, in fact, were all processed on time. There were no concerns arising from those provinces at all. And I think it is recognition there also that the system as a whole was holding together. It was really about individual cases that were causing these delays. Chair, there has been, though, some media speculation prior to anyone reading the report from their side about the causes of the delays, and some have been very assertive about this, and some of the media have suggested that, no, it was all about the computer system and the company that was selected to operate that tender system. Now, Chair, we have done a full investigation on this matter, and I can confidently say that based on the information we have to hand, those tender processes in regard to the appointment of Magna FS, the company that takes on this responsibility, have been absolutely above board in all instances. And I think it's important to make it clear that we have partnered with the CETA throughout. I think some of the media speculation was suggesting that the CETA was in itself a bidder for this contract and that they were in some way disappointed that they hadn't got it. Well, that's a complete misreading of it. The CETA has no interest in bidding for this kind of contract. Its task, in fact, is to assist departments to outsource these correctly, and they certainly were a very valuable partner, particularly around the technical specifications, but even beyond. So they were certainly involved. And it is important, I think, also for people to know that Magna FS provides examination services for some 23 different countries or organizations, including the University of London, the British Council, the examination system of Sri Lanka, of Zambia, and various others. So the suggestion, I think, that Magna FS were in some way unable to carry out this contract, I think, is a complete misreading. And again, as I say, given that 95% of the results were processed on time, I think those allegations really are unfortunate and certainly not correct. Chair, the details of all those findings are in the report itself, but I believe that is an accurate summary of what the committee found and reported to the minister in regard to what caused those delays. And I would like to say that I would hope that the bigger focus can now be on what do we do about it, in particular around the particular instances, and more importantly, what do we do about it in terms of going forward. The first thing to say is that steps have indeed been taken, and at a HEDCOM meeting last week, it was confirmed that all provinces were conducting what are known as compliance audits to determine whether there has any neglect of duty, either by school principals or officials of the department. Where someone did not submit those school-based results, we need to know about those, we need to know who did not comply, and obviously to take the necessary steps. If those results were submitted by the school, but then perhaps held onto by the district, we need to know that as well. So these compliance audits are all underway in the affected provinces, certainly, and they have certainly committed to acting wherever needed. We were informed that in two of the affected provinces, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, action has already been taken. There are at least two officials in Mpumalanga who have been relieved of their exam duties. They've been moved to another section meantime, but that investigation is ongoing, and if there is misconduct that is identified, certainly those will be followed in a proper way. In Gauteng, they also reported that one official at least had been charged for not ensuring compliance. This was not at the school level, at the district level. But there is also an ongoing investigation into a number of principals, particularly, again, if it's found that they have not complied with the requirements. But again, Chair, I think we reiterate that in most provinces we didn't have a problem. So to expect that all provinces are now going to take some sort of action, I think, again, would be a misreading of the situation. We're expecting provinces who were affected, obviously, to do what has to be done. So that's perhaps one level of action that has been taken. But, Chair, we also need to recognize that in the report, and again, I say independent report, this report does not identify misconduct by any officials at a national or provincial level. It does understand that there are capacity concerns, and I think that's an honest reflection. but these would have to be addressed through the normal performance management and development systems, your PMDS processes in the public service, certainly where people are not up to doing the jobs they have to, certainly we would have to address those through our incapacity procedures, but as I say, no explicit identification of misconduct. And most importantly, Chair, is that the Department of Education has now prepared what we've termed a corrective plan. This has been presented to the Council of Education Ministers, our MINMEC, and I understand, Chair, that there are, in fact, copies of that report. It's the management plan for the National Senior Certificate 2009, and its cover is a document that is headed strengthening the national examination system in preparation for the exams in 2009. So I'd invite members to take a copy of those, which I think start to give an indication of some of the steps that indeed are being taken, have been taken, as we move forward towards 2009. Chair, without in any way being defensive on this one, we have been cautioned in some cases against what could be termed a reckless approach. It's easy to look for people's heads that should roll, perhaps, and as I say, where those have to, we will certainly be doing that. But we do need to recognize that in this particular game, you are dependent on scarce skills, in part around the computer systems themselves and the kind of skills that are required there, but broadly in examination administration. There are not a huge number of experts in the country, so certainly we are not being reckless and simply chucking people out of the system when even now at the moment with the supplementary exams we are still requiring those kind of skills to ensure the system keeps operating, keeps functioning. So we will indeed, as I say, be taking action where necessary, but the idea that we're just going to go on a random thing and just move people out of these exam sections, I think would be an irresponsible approach also. But in conclusion, Chair, around this one, I think to recognize that all departments are committed to taking action as required, and certainly, as I say, where any instance of misconduct is properly identified, certainly action would be taken around those. Chair, just to indicate that we don't necessarily see the process completely ending here. Following today, we have committed to providing copies of this report to both the Public Protector, who has requested copies, and to the Human Rights Commission, and we will obviously wait for their assessment to decide if they believe further action should be taken. We will be guided by them in that regard, and they will obviously indicate that from their side. But Chair, one of the important elements I think around advocacy is that we've got to do some work against the kind of game playing that has gone on by various forces and in various sectors. The most predominant, Chair, has been since the 30th of December, claims made by people that they have not had their results. And then you say to these people, can you give me the names of these people who don't have results? And they say, no, I haven't got the names. Chair, it's impossible for us to act in such cases. We need simply the name and exam number of the candidate. We had a process set up where we guaranteed within 24 hours we would process that result. We would either give the person the result or give them, if not, an explanation as to why the result was being withheld. But there were extraordinary statements being made by various people for different reasons as to why this was being done. Chair, we had a number of principals, certainly, who made a big noise, and even managed quite successfully to mobilize parents and learners around these issues. In some cases, when we investigated, we actually found these were the very principals who hadn't submitted the school-based assessment marks. So this was very clearly a bit of a cover-up by themselves, get a bit of noise and publicity going in the hope that it wouldn't be noticed that, in fact, they were the ones who had slowed the process up, and certainly that was a concern. Parents, in some cases, and candidates, it was quite clearly, Chair, not a case where they hadn't received the results, but where the results they had received, they didn't really like them. Now, that's a very different matter, Chair. We don't always like the results that come from an examination, but partly because this thing had been built up into such a media frenzy in a way, people were riding on that bandwagon in some way saying, no, I haven't got my results. We would look into the system and find that, in fact, those results had been released, and as I say, they were probably not so friendly, so they played a game there. Chair, as I say, various other constituencies have done different things. AfriForum, you would know, has marched on a regular basis on our offices and handed in various memoranda. Chair, can I just read you a little letter I got from AfriForum? We met with them last week. to try and get information from them, because they were telling us and they were telling the world still they had names of people who hadn't received. We met with them last week with the deputy minister. We said, can you give us names? They said, no, we don't have any at the moment, but we can give you next week. Well, next week happened to turn into last night, and I received yesterday a note from the AfriForum. And, Chair, I can table a copy of this letter if you wish, but you will see that the cover note simply says, you will find that many of these matriculants have recently received their results, but they are now claiming that the results they have received are incorrect. Now, that's a very different issue, Chair. The results are incorrect. It's a very clear process to be followed through, but the noise all along had been we hadn't received the results. Now, suddenly, it's, yes, we have received them, but they're incorrect. I think it suggests something, Chair, around this notion of game playing that is a problem. One of the two of the candidates that AfriForum have given us have related to two schools, both in Mpumalanga. I won't name the schools, but they classify they are spelt out here. They talk about the one school saying they recently received their last outstanding results. There are numerous complaints from matriculants who feel that their results are incorrect, but they decided not to go on with the matter because they're too glad that the results have come and they don't want any more problems. Now, Chair, I don't know what you do with that kind of complaint. It's very difficult. Further down, another school in Mpumalanga, there are problems at the school, but they're indicated that they do not want to get involved in an official capacity. Chair, if you don't want to get involved, then I don't believe you can go out in public and start making those kind of statements. AfriForum then collected a whole lot of individual complaints that they have raised with us, and certainly we'll look through them. But again, some of the evidence from a certain gentleman I won't name, he says he has not got all his results, and he says his life orientation marks are about 50% lower than his year mark, which means he must have got 0% in the exam. Chair, there was no life orientation exam. I don't know where this man was, but really it does seem as though he really has got a bit lost in different ways. So, I'm not picking on one organization because that was symptomatic of many things that were happening, but yet certainly I think we as a department felt in many ways under attack, and where they were legitimate attacks, as I say, we were quite happy, we would look at that, we'd process those results, but many of them, I have to say, were simply people who were trying to make some sort of mischief around this in different ways. Chair, I was particularly surprised by the Human Rights Commission, and I do believe in the when we cover this letter to them, cover this report to them. The newspaper report talks about the Human Rights Commission taking legal action against the Education Department, and it calls on people to bring complaints to the Human Rights Commission. Now, I don't mind them calling on people; that's fine. But, yeah, I've always understood the Human Rights Commission's role was to investigate complaints and to make a finding as to whether there might have been some abuse of human rights, in which case, presumably, there can be court action. But the notion that the Human Rights Commission itself is going to take us to court and sue us over the results, I think, has also been a bit of an odd one, and certainly one that took us by surprise. Chair, I can carry on. I'm not going to about those kind of things, as I say, where people simply were exploiting what was obviously a difficult situation for us and were really just, I think, in many ways, for different reasons, trying to ride on that particular one. Chair, besides those claims, we also had claims down here in the Western Cape that examiners were told to inflate marks. This was made by a political party. We contacted that political party concerned and the spokesperson on education. They gave us the name. No, they said two people had raised with them these concerns that examiners were told to inflate marks. We said, can we have the names of these two people so that we can please follow up on this investigation? Their response was no. The one wants to remain anonymous, which is fine, but again makes it very difficult to deal with. They did give us the name of another person who we immediately contacted. That person denied making any such statement and pointed out that he, in fact, had not been anywhere near any of the exam centers. He was not a marker or anything like that, and that he had said nothing of that sort. You might be aware that the MEC in the Western Cape then tabled the matter in the legislature, and he, in fact, invited anybody who had evidence in this regard to come to him directly without any fear of victimization or anything like that. I have to say, Chair, that to date he has not received any allegations of this regard. So one has to ask, Chair, what was the purpose of raising this? Why was someone trying to say this thing when clearly there was no evidence to substantiate the claim at all? And then, of course, Chair, we had the third level that there was a group of so-called concerned maths educators in KwaZulu-Natal who said that the maths paper was of a poor standard. The minister, like ourselves, takes these things extremely seriously. She then subjected that to a high-level panel of senior mathematicians, both university-based and others. She got people from the AMESA, that's the Association of Math Educators Society of South Africa. She got representatives from the South African Mathematical Society and the South African Math Foundation. That panel investigated, looked at the paper, and made the findings. And the first one is very clear. Those learners who scored 50% or more on the 2008 math papers would historically have passed math higher grade at the 40% or higher level, which of course was the target we were aiming at. In other words, what they were saying, Chair, is there was no problem with the standard of this examination paper. So, as I say, it's not to try and deflect attention and suggest that other people in some way were responsible for what happened, but, Chair, I think we also need to recognize that in trying to manage this process, we have not been helped by many other parties who, as I say, at different times had claimed that they knew of names, and yet when you approached them, they could not give you those names. And that, I have to say, is very difficult. Let me continue. Corrective action for 2009, continuing, Chair. The lessons learned from 2008, sorry, that should be, have led to a national plan to correct all the findings of the report, and as I say, the copies are there available. This plan includes a number of steps. Firstly, a further investment in resources, particularly those skilled human resources that we do need at a national and provincial level. We have recognized undercapacity, and certainly we will plug in that gap. We have agreed, Chair, to invite an independent expert to conduct a comprehensive review of the capabilities of the integrated examination computer system from start to finish, to look at it, to look at everything about it, everything it does, how it does it, and to give us a report. Certainly if there are issues there we can correct, we will do so. From our side, Chair, I think probably the most important is this issue of policy clarity in regard to procedures and regulations. Who does what, by when? We've got to make that absolutely clear to all constituencies and ensure that we monitor every step of those processes. And then finally, Chair, I think we do need to relook at the date of announcement, given the fact that we start the exam so much later, and I think that's an issue that the new administration might want to pick up on, particularly perhaps in consultation with the CEM itself. So those are some of the initial steps. Further steps we'd be taking is to tighten all regulations relating to examinations, and in particular, as I mentioned earlier, those issues for the dates of course changes, they must be brought earlier so that we can pin down these things and get them in the system, the dates for the submission of school-based marks, ensuring compliance with these deadlines at all levels of the system, the date by which it must go from the school to the district, from the district to the province, from the province to national. We need to check all those things are happening, again, increasing the capacity of the exam units at national and provincial level. And then, as I say, this advocacy that we need among teachers, and let me add there, and parents. There were a lot of parents who effectively, I think, were saying to their children, don't worry about this, school-based assessment portfolio. You know, the exam is the issue. Well, sorry, it's not the issue. The school-based assessment counts for 25% in most subjects. It is a big part of the overall assessment, and teachers, parents, and particularly the candidates have to understand the importance of school-based assessment, and of course, especially for life orientation, because that is the basis on which life orientation is either passed or not. So people who have some idea that these things are not important and don't count really need to be shaken and told that indeed they do. So, Chair, if we come to some conclusions, reiterate, most learners, over 500,000 of them were indeed well served by the system. We need to recognize that. And again, to those people who have not been well served, we repeat our apology, we repeat our offer to assist them wherever possible. I can indicate that very early on in January, we contacted every university admissions office. We indicated the difficulties we're having. We asked them to please indicate to us if there were any candidates who they saw as being a problem. In general, the university said, really, it's not an issue for us. Most of their admission criteria is based on the grade 11 final exam results anyway.
and they said they would certainly indicate if there were issues. Today, Chair, we have not been informed of anyone who has been excluded from a university except two cases which came forward to us. In each of those two cases which we investigated, it was found, in fact, that these candidates had not applied for any university. So although, in fact, they should have, because they did get a university-based pass, they had not applied for any university, so it was not the exam results in any way that were prejudicing them. It was actually their own assumptions, perhaps, about what they were doing. But I will still say it, if there is any candidate who believes they have been unfairly prejudiced in this way, they need to let us know. We will certainly do what we can to address it. Chair, in conclusion, the report found, I believe, Luanda, that there had been three major areas. One is the policy implementation failures, with people either not being sure of the rules and or complying with these rules. People simply didn't do what they were supposed to do. There were indeed computer problems, and we acknowledge that. We had no opportunity for a full-scale testing of the system with all 12 million marks in it. We did trial runs on smaller samples, but that perhaps didn't throw up all the issues that we could have picked up. And then the third area was the issue of capacity constraints, both in terms of a number of unfilled posts. There were some provinces certainly that were identified as having vacant posts in their exam sections, and these needed to be filled. And where they were filled, sometimes the people were not properly trained administrators and were not able to manage the system. And Chair, we can confirm here that steps either have been taken or are being taken to address all of the matters raised in the report. And Chair, I have to suggest that these steps do have the promise of a significant improvement in 2009, while recognizing that in any exam system, there will always be irregularities. Universities face them, schools face them, anyone, anywhere in the world has them. These things arise, they will delay the release of some results. Certainly they should not be of the magnitude that we encountered in 2008, but let us not believe that every result will always be processed along with every other one. There will always be an issue because you're dealing with people. And Chair, to try and overcome these as far as possible, we need the compliance of all layers of the system. We need to be sure that all learners are indeed completing their portfolios as required. We need to be sure that teachers are handing these in, that schools are forwarding them into the districts, that the districts are checking them to make sure there's no errors in those reports and submitting the schedules, and of course the provinces getting these loaded into the computer system all by the due dates. Chair, on that basis, we can then, I believe, confidently commit to collate and to report timely on all results for the 2009 National Senior Certificate Examination. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you ever so much, DJ. We will now allow time for the members to make their comments and questions. Amir Panieri.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I think we must thank the DG and his team for the very candid report that has been submitted here. It's quite clearly a lot of work has gone into it. Detailed investigations have been done. It is a report in which no punches are pulled. There's no covering the wool over anybody's eyes. And I really think we need to express our appreciation for the candid report that was submitted here. I think that the delays were very, very unfortunate. And we must accept that there has been a very serious problem within the system of processing exam results, as the DG has pointed out. The proposals, there are various proposals here. I think it is going to be incumbent on the department to really vigorously follow up these proposals and ensure that we don't have a repeat of this particular problem that we've experienced. A chairperson, I've referred to this in the past, and that is, the very spurious claims that emanate from members of this portfolio committee for the sake of cheap political sensation. I think there is also ethics in the political domain. Let's accept that. And quite clearly, the kind of broad statements that have emanated, that examiners were told to inflate marks, emanate from our colleagues in the DA in this particular portfolio committee. Mrs. van der Walt has indicated she's not here, but she's indicated she's got the proof, but this proof never comes forward. Mr. Boinamo here next to me, my colleague, he says he's protecting the whistleblowers. But, there's investigations upon investigations, and I think we must be very, very outspoken that we cannot allow our members of our portfolio committee to really, for the sake of cheap political sensation and political expediency, to really distort the facts in the way that they are distorted. Here today, still, we don't have any clear facts on the table in terms of this statement that was put out there that examiners were told to inflate marks. And I just want to express the unhappiness of our party with that kind of operating. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The 2008 examination was not the first in South Africa. And we have, I want to believe, people who are well experienced in running examinations, employed by the department, and we cannot all of a sudden, because in 2008 and the children were writing the first national curriculum statement or OBE examination, then tables have to turn upside down and things are not done correctly, and we are told it's a serious of irregularities involving so many people, including even the principals. I understand that some principals may not have submitted the oral marks timelessly, but the crux of the matter is the processing and releasing of results happen beyond the school domain, and the principal can take a blame as far as the submission of the oral marks is concerned, and it must end up there. But the results were not released on time and involving so many learners, over 56,000. This is a big irregularity, and the national department has to take the blame and not pass the buck. And what we want to understand from now henceforth, because this has happened, we cannot undo it. It has happened, it's a reality. What guarantee do we have from the Department of Education that this kind of a mess is not going to be repeated in future? I'm looking here where the minister directed the National Examination Irregularity Committee. There are bodies that were involved here, including SATU, the Western Teacher Union, but other teacher unions were not engaged. I want to know why. The question I have here is, because the DG has actually alluded to the fact that some learners would just enter the examination room and say, look, I'm not going to write math, I'm sitting for math literacy. How is it possible? Because each and every candidate register for the subject he or she is going to write. Now, can a learner enter examination room and there and then make some changes between himself or herself with the invigilator and begin setting up new rules that, no, I'm not writing this, I'm writing that, and it's agreed. It's agreed. I mean, I find that to be unacceptable. And the other thing is,
the people who are responsible, the DG has actually indicated that some of them have been actually charged. But what I want to find out here is, if these people were charged, can the DG disclose us to, is it in all provinces? Or is it in only one province, and is it in the within the people who are running examinations or the markers, or it includes the principals as well? And the other thing is, which is going to be my conclusive question, what guarantee does the DG have that he can give to the nation that this kind of a problem regarding the release of the results is not going to happen in future? Because really we have thousands of children who could not prepare themselves for universities or going into colleges to continue with their education, their further education, because they could not get the results on time. Thank you very much.
To be fair, I get the sense that Boy Namo is asking questions as if the report has not been taken. He's still talking about 56,000, and the figure is 26. No, allow me, I'm just making the comments on you. The way you ask, I'm just asking to be fair to the department. Your questions are as though no report has been submitted. The figure is shifted from 56,000 to 26,000. You are still talking about 26,000. No, I'm saying, let's keep to the facts now. The results that we're referring to are not those of them right, according to the report, is 26. And you talk about walk-ins. The department was saying they are concerned about those walk-ins. Why they do. I'm not sure what they are supposed to. And I thought you would be responding, for example, even to Honorable Fonier's question, because he said what he was saying first in this committee meeting. But after that, Honorable Nama went to the House and repeated the same thing about the inflated marks. I thought you would respond to that and say the DA with his concern about inflated marks. Is there any evidence at this point in time? You have not responded to that.
No, I cannot respond to that, because Honorable Van Heeren has touched on it. I will respond to that at my own time.
Thank you, Chairperson. One would be very much interested to know whether at least the 92 candidates whose results were outstanding as at the 16th of February have still been released, and whether they get the rotten. And the other issue is, what is the department trying, what would the department be doing to ensure and infuse among teachers and officials in the department, and by and large, by extension, to the learners themselves, to know that the laxity and type of way of doing things is inconsistent with what is expected of people in this country. The issue, the statement that has always repeatedly been said by the African National Congress, not a member of the ANC, that when they rose in Polokwane, and in their general statement last year, they said for 2008, teachers must be in class, chalk in hand, teaching, and pupils must be ready with their work, also learning. I'm sure they stopped short of saying officials, such as the inspectors of old, also to be on the ground to make sure that work is being done. And perhaps to ensure that I get the feeling that the department did try to find out what is actually going on. But we need to know, yes, this school did not submit, the DG tried to allude to that. Yes, this district did not submit to the province, and this province did not submit to head of, you know, that type of thing, so that there's this follow-up. Can we be assured that this lineup will, this year and henceforth, be carried out so that we don't have this repeat? And we can see, of course, an examination like anything else, we always have irregularities. Human beings are not angels, and but they should not be as grave as that. And the question of change of subject, I know it's just as circus, that it's not acceptable anyway. Even if you didn't have computers to work on that, you would still feel that those scripts would not be marked in any case. I mean, taking trying to use one's background as a former teacher myself. Thank you very much.
For the PM, the Honourable Fund is a member of UCDP. Dr. Mosa.
Chairperson, I think from the onset one should appreciate the fact that the department itself took the initiative to have this meeting, you know, to happen. It says quite a lot. For the fact that you want to tell the nation that you are sorry, this was a huge embarrassment, we do concede. But there are many lessons that we have drawn out of this. One of which is the fact that, you know, district offices must always ensure that what should happen at that level indeed should happen. It is at this point, well, it can be expected that there are people who are going to try to gain political mileage out of this. We know the period we're in right now. I don't want to dwell much into that. But having said this, I do sincerely hope that school-based assessment, it's very easy for people to take it, you know, to be very casual about it, especially where monitoring is not very tight. The fact is that I am quite certain that, you know, our district officers should have learned a very huge lesson. The result has been very, very embarrassing, not only to this department, but to the country as a whole. My question pertinently would be whether there are learners, you know, who, or candidates, who as a result of this unfortunate occurrence have not been able to gain university entrance, and what it is that the department is doing to assist such cases.
Any other comment, questions, or members? You can respond.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me thank all the honourable members for the input. Chair, I think initially to respond to Mr. Bunamo on some of the issues, just to indicate that NAPTOSA were invited and apologised. They were invited to sit on the committee and they apologised. So from their side, that was their choice. And really just to say, I think as I indicated in the presentation, not all nine provinces were in fact affected. Most of the provinces had in fact got the results done in time, finished. So to expect them to be now taking action against officials would be inappropriate. There wasn't a problem. So we've named the two provinces that we're aware of that have already taken action. That obviously is to date. Clearly, if there is any other following the compliance audit, we would come and indicate those provinces as well. But I would anticipate that those were the two provinces that were most affected. That's where we're likely to see the most action taken. Chair, a number of colleagues have asked for guarantees, I suppose, and I'm not sure you can ever give any guarantees in life, particularly when you're dealing with people. The strongest I can make is a commitment, obviously, and that commitment is, as we said here, to put out all the stops in whatever way necessary, using the information from the report, using the experience we've had from before, to certainly try and correct all the problems that were identified and to try and ensure that everything does indeed flow smoothly in the coming year. I'm not sure we can go much beyond that, but I can say, Chair, without a shred of doubt, that throughout the system, from the most senior level, myself, right down to every school teacher and principal, I have no doubt this has been a huge wake-up call. It has been a shock to the system, an embarrassing shock at all levels of the system, and I think if anyone believes they are unaffected by this issue, certainly they need to be jolted out of that, because I think we've all understood the importance of this wake-up call, and the compliance audit that is ongoing will continue to interrogate those things. Chair, let me respond both to Mr. Bonanno, who says he knows of people who were unable to go to university or college because of this. Mr. Masala puts it, the Honourable Masala puts it differently. He asks whether there were any learners prejudiced in this way. My response is, Chair, if people are aware of any such people, come here today and tell me. I will either get them into university, or if it's too late to start now, I will ensure that they are indeed processed so that they do get in next year. We will take steps to see what can be done this year in terms of a bridging program or something else. But please, if they are aware of any individuals who have been prejudiced in that way, because we have made this public call to date, only two names have been given to us, and I've indicated what happened there. But, Chair, if they know of people, please, they must give us those names. I will do whatever is necessary to ensure that I can't turn the clock back, but I can certainly make sure that they are compensated in whatever way possible to deal with that matter. Chair, the issue of the 92 candidates, certainly I understand that all except some 30 have in fact been released. And the fact that these haven't been released is that most of these were then related to allegations of cheating. What happened is that in some cases now these candidates wanted their lawyers to come to a hearing and that sort of thing, so it all got delayed. In fact, we have instances in many of these 30 cases where we've set a date for the hearing where these people would be formally charged with having cheated an exam. They didn't pitch up. We then set another date. They haven't come again. So in a sense, it's quite probable that these 30, in fact, have given up on their results itself, and they're not pursuing the matter. But we have, throughout the system, Chair, all sorts of appeal processes. If, in terms of the AFRI forum, you feel your marks aren't right, you can apply for a remark, you can apply for a recheck, you can apply for a review of the marks. All of those systems are in place. All learners are entitled to use those opportunities, and I have to say very few of them have taken the formal opportunities. Instead, they seem to think it's going to be more effective by going up and making a public statement on this thing. So really, from our side, we have had no indication formally in terms of any appeal process of people who are contesting their marks. These seem to be something else now that is suddenly arising. Chair, as I say, the issue of the wake-up call, let me also clarify this business of the non-negotiables. You're absolutely right. I think every teacher knows the song by now, in class, on time, and teaching. But we've made it quite clear. It's not just teachers, it's learners, it's parents, and it is officials. And we've made that quite clear. If you look at the Quality Learning and Teaching campaign, there is a commitment there for officials as well. And part of those commitments are that officials will visit schools on a regular basis, will provide support, will monitor and ensure things are happening. So please have a look at those commitments of the Quality Learning and Teaching campaign. Certainly very important element, and I think will be something that takes us forward. So, Chair, as I say, I guarantee, it's nearly impossible to give, but I can guarantee that from our side, every effort will indeed be made to ensure that we don't face these kind of situations again. Do you want to add, Mr. Steve?
Any other comment or question?
To the DG, I just want to find out as to whether, because you've mentioned that people were not actually knowing what to do because they did not understand the policy and also perhaps the computers. I don't know, when you mentioned the computers, did you mean that people who were working on computers were not well trained, or they misunderstood or certain things that they were supposed to have done. My question is, have people now been trained in the mastery of the policy and working with the computer so that we really ensure that normality is adhered to in future? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think if you have a look through this strengthening the national examination system, the document we released, you will see there certainly an issue of building capacity. I don't want to draw a distinction between the individuals and what they did and the system itself. I think all of those areas do need additional training, additional capacity. Certainly we will pick up on those issues in any way necessary to ensure that it happens. I'm just looking on the improvement plan. If you look, sorry, it's not page numbered, but in that document, paragraph 2.6 talks about the provincial departments assisted by the department must undertake a complete review of provincial capacity and infrastructure to manage the processing of data and the demands of the new computer processes. So certainly those, Chair, we will be looking at, and I think what we might ask is whether perhaps around mid-year or August or something we could return to this portfolio committee and perhaps just give a bit of an update report on the progress we are making in dealing with those particular issues. Yeah, thanks, Chair.
I think we should appreciate the report, especially the documents. I think they'll assist us to get a better understanding of the issues. And if need be, we can compile some more questions on the basis of this. This, to me, is kind of a way forward as to, from here on, what do we do. And maybe even in this supplemental, we'll be able to send and see what problems are there. I think on my job, I think my enough issue is the meeting. We do have Babanduli lost his brother. That guy is not here. So let us note that. Babanduli lost his brother. Thanks so much.
Sorry, Chair. There are many
people
sorry
for that. Somebody going to propose? What about the Minister of the Digital Services, 27th of January? Any proposal, second?
I'll propose the Doctrine
Chair. Member Shangwane is, Ndadepoinama is seconding that. The 17th of February. Member Shangwane proposes. Nandaz is seconding. Minutes of the 4th of February.
Yeah, no.
Second. The minutes of the 10th of February. Mendaz is proposing. Member Shangwane second. I think we have covered all the minutes. Thanks, sir. So much.
Would it be fun? I think that's yeah. Sorry, what were the dates again? 27 January, 17 February, 4th February, and
2nd and 10th
of March.
February.
Okay, this is back to final piece. Quite a few minutes. Will be adoption of committee minutes. The committee adopted the minutes of the 27th January. Then you list all of them without any amendments. And then the meeting was adjourned.
Who was the person and who was the
No, that's not necessary.
Okay, so 17th?
I've got 27 Jan, 17 Feb.